We've all done a lot of really gross cleaning in our life. But I want to know, what's your, like, cleaning horror story? What's the worst thing you've had to clean?
Like, I mean, like, working on a farm for most of my formative years, like, I've cleaned some pretty rough stuff. Like, every winter we'd have to, like, you know, we'd finish the harvest and we'd have to, like, pressure wash all of the, like, leftover soybeans or corn or whatever was in the combine that kind of gets nestled into, like, tight places and then ferments for, like, several weeks before we finally get to power wash it. And that's a rough smell, I'll be honest with you. But I think the worst thing I've ever had to clean, though, was farming adjacent as well. The trigger warning for people who don't like animal death, I guess. I was driving down the highway in a fully loaded tractor trailer filled with corn, and a deer ran out in front of the truck. He got to the truck as the truck was passing it and went under the back wheels.
Oh,
and that stomach definitely exploded all over the back axle of that truck.
Yep.
And I had to pressure wash that bad boy for several hours to get all these stomach juices off of the back of that truck. All
it was pretty
vile. So good luck topping that, everybody.
That is bad.
Yeah. Yeah, that was rough.
All right, well, I'll go next. I'll be honest. I'm pretty fortunate in my life that I don't have that many super gross cleaning stories. But I did have one somewhat recently that was time-consuming, to say the least. So my son is a sweet little angel. He's so kind. And
he's about to drop a bomb on his kid.
He's very aware of himself. And one morning, I knew that he was awake. So this is on me. And I was like halfway through making breakfast. And I was like, I'll just finish this real quick. I'll go in. He'll have breakfast. Da, 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 da. And there's something that just scratched in the back of my head like, maybe you should check him out now. So I go into the room and I just see him on his bed. He's playing with toys and he's like, my bed is wet. And in my head, I'm like, oh, okay, you know what happens. You know, you wet your bed, you know, sometimes leaks through, you get a little pull up, you know, you're still
wet. Right, right. Sort of thing. Yeah.
And he stands up. It is not pee, dear listener. No. And then I look at the ground, and I see a pull-up on the rug. I see diaper wipes on the rug. The sweet, sweet child was like, I need to clean myself.
Oh, Lord.
So I see this.
Sweet God.
I see that, and I'm just like, wait right there. I go to the kitchen, I take food off the burners, because I don't want to burn breakfast. And I'm like, all right, I'm switching modes. I dump little sister with mama. I go get Cohen. I take him directly to the bath, hose him down. And he's just like, I'm a little messy. Like, yeah, smart, bud. I get him cleaned off. And then I literally spend the next hour and a half wiping down toys, using a wet shop vac to shop vac rug, carpet, gotta strip his bed. Like, it was everywhere.
Yeah. What time of night was this?
No, this is in the morning.
Oh, well, that's good.
Yeah.
It was in the middle of the night, then you're like, really mad.
Listen,
middle of the night is...
You can only go up from there, right?
Yeah, right.
You can start
right,
your morning.
Exactly. You can only go up. So, you know, I really applaud him for taking responsibility, you know? I thought that was really great. But it was very much like, I closed that door and I locked it. I said, no one is coming in here. I will be out when it is clean. And I emerged an hour later, two and a half trash bags. They were like small grocery bags. But they're still bags full of diaper wipes and all sorts of other cleaning implements. And then I opened up the windows, set a fan in there, and I said, no one's going in there.
Yeah, I've had a lot of big poop explosions that have just been just devastating.
Yep.
My poor father was watching our kids today, and we like didn't leave out the mats and stuff for Rayla. So he like she pooped. He had to do a huge scramble. He ended up using like the cloth side of the changing mat, which got poop on everything.
Ugh.
Our comforter, which gets either a giant spill on it or poop on it like once a week at this point. And it's a king size, really thick blanket.
Of course.
It's like, really hard to get dry.
Of course.
When you have to wash it.
Yep.
It's like it's literally like a 24-hour affair to get our freaking comforter usable again because it's just so hard to dry because it's just too big.
I've been there. The big comforter is a pain.
Yep.
Ugh, such a pain. Those are awful.
I just dealt with a blowout today.
Nice.
Yeah, I was about to say that story you said before. Yeah. We're just like, oh my god, I feel so sorry.
I will tell it, and then I will tell mine. But you go ahead first, Mark.
Yeah. So, like, it's like a combination of a couple things. I worked in kind of disgusting areas at times. You know, low rank people, so I was cleaning a lot. But I was paid for it, you know, so that made it better. Honestly, as long as I'm getting money for it, I'm like, okay, I don't care.
Strap on the gloves and.
Oh yeah, I'll dig deep.
Tuck like, into your sleeves.
And yeah, like I was, yep, I was rethinking through my head. I was like, okay, so I've had to clean like what Jed had, like deer issues, like especially because they're suicidal little bastards sometimes. And like, well, the car is now covered in something. I've gotta take this off. And then I was like, okay, but then there was a time I used to work at a bar, so I had to clean up projectile vomit from total strangers.
Oh.
I'm like, wonderful. But then I was like, oh, I used to clean grease traps that were not cleaned properly. So, you
those
know,
get nasty. Yeah.
Oh, those gets wonderfully nasty, especially when I'm using a disposable spatula and just pulling out several 4-inch thick grease blocks.
Yep.
And the smell that comes out is a horrible smell that I hate smells good for a moment because you're like, okay, it's grease. Like from fries and burgers, and you're like, oh god, and then it just hits you. But I gotta say, my worst one is when I was helping a friend clean a house that they were trying to resell, and I wasn't exactly getting paid for it. I was just trying to be, you know, helpful. Infestation of mice. So mice, I hate the little bastards. And this is someone I used to own rats because I love rats. Like. As pets, but if they're wild rats, you're on your own. But with mice, oh my god, there was so much of an infestation inside this house that it was like you picked up anything and it was just mouse crap, mouse shit everywhere. You open up a tile, there was mouse shit there. You move that, there was mouse shit in the oven. And I'm like, how the fuck did they get the gun?
In the oven?
Like, well, we found out that the person, because it was I'll put it off to the side, but it was definitely a reason they were selling the house. They couldn't take care of themselves. But
yeah,
the oven was covered in mouse shit, so I was spraying it down, you know, degreaser, all that stuff, trying to purge it, and just the horrible smell that just permeated through the entire house. Because when I say infestation, I said multiple times, I'm like, why don't we just burn the house down?
Right.
This would be much more efficient.
Right.
And I will say that's more gross because for me, I know what I'm getting into most of the times, but this was like, I opened up a different place. I'm just like, oh my god. I reach my hand to do something and I'm like wearing gloves. I'm like, it's not dry now, is it? And then I'm like, nope, that's just a mountain of mouse shit. Plus the dead ones that were decomposing inside it was a nightmare house, and also made my vendetta against mice even more so. I honestly hate the little bastards.
Yeah,
they are so destructive.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, but as I said, like if it's something in my control, I can usually I'm fine with it, but if it starts going out, I'm like, okay, now I'm more pissed off.
yeah that's a rough one. So let me go into my story from today. So we were coming back from a trip, and we stopped off at a place called Peddler's Village. If you've been there, it's in near New Hope, Pennsylvania. It's a tiny village with it's all just shops, and they sell like knickknacks and clothes and handmade stuff. There's even like there's like a Harry Potter store where you can just go like buy a wand and like all sorts of fun stuff. Great place. And at one point, I'm holding my 5-month old, and I hear the dirtiest, juiciest poop you can imagine, and I'm just like, all right, let's go change it. Go to change it, and I didn't realize that it was, one, baby poops, which are liquid, and then big girl poops, which are the solids, but they had gone up her back. So after using the two wipes, realizing I only had two wipes...
Oh, no.
I was then like, okay, let me use one of the diapers to just wipe, just to kind of get it up. So I started wiping, realized that was the only other diaper I had.
Oh.
Well, because we didn't have the diaper bag. I just had Hannah's purse, so that was just like the do it quick bag. And so what I had to do was I had to take my 5-month old with no shirt, no diaper, and just her pants on, and go run to the car while I have like poop on my hands. It like I was talking with Hannah, and I was like, it literally looks like I just stole her from somebody, and that's that, and the
poop only chain.
This poop chain was so bad that it looked like I kidnapped her from somebody else, and like it through the fight they got her shirt and I got her. So
this baby thief really didn't think this out.
No. So it was just total mess all the whole way through. So that was my thing today. And as any other dads in this call know exactly what I'm talking about when it's just there's shit everywhere. Oh my god, there's shit here. Where did you get this?
Oh man.
So now I have a story similar to Mark's, however. A woman that my dad knew, her sister was a hoarder, and we had to clean up her place so she didn't get evicted. And there were mounds and mounds and mounds of stuff. It was a lot, but there were, I think we counted 15 different cats, some of which she didn't know of, and we believe that were born there.
Oh god.
Because like it would be one of those things where, you know, it was like up to the ceiling. I mean, like there was just stuff everywhere. It was like a single file pass to like each room. It was a very tragic situation. But there was like a certain point when I would pick up something that looked like it was completely flat on the ground, and I would pick it up and there would just be cat, it would be like a box, and there would be cats under that box. Oh. And they would just go scurrying out everywhere.
Oh god.
Gosh.
And so it was just the smell of just like cat dander, the smell of cat poop, and the ammonia alone was like we had we were like required to wear masks because it was like extremely hazardous.
Oh yeah, no, it's toxic as hell.
Yes. I've had to clean houses that bad where you have to like wear a mask.
Yeah.
Because of the pet destruction.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, I've had cats and dogs for years. You know, I cleaned snake poop. You know what I mean? And just the ammonia from a cat is just like nothing else.
15 plus cats.
Yeah. Like I said, and who knows how many of them might have been strays? Because, you know, like if she brought in one cat, they would bring in their friends. And it was just one of those situations. It was just like, but hey, you know what? We got that place cleaned up and she did a lot better. So, you know, it really worked, but it was. Boy, that was an experience for 15, 16-year-old Jake. Me and my dad.
Cats in general, with like a sheer amount of them in one place, you were taken aback, like hit so freaking hard. I don't know what it is with cats, but you're just like, oh my god. If there's like more than two in someone's house, you're like usually like, oh, I can smell them immediately.
Yeah.
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 Gross stuff. You guys are about to investigate the servants' quarters, and I bet they got some good stories, clean stories for you.
Oh, wonderful.
If they're there.
If they're
alive. Maybe you can ask them.
So if we go over, can we be like, you guys see the mess over here?
Yeah, right.
why aren't you bringing this up?
So last time you guys investigated the manor after you did your little mind meld with the cat, Ogryn, who is still following you by chance.
You're making it weird, man.
Just keeping an eye on you. He's, you guess fed him. He seems fine, but he's just eyeing you. He's not a very, like, he's not the cutest cat. He's a little creepy.
Yeah, a little mangy.
He's a little mangy. He's a little monster. But you investigated this house where many people died. You're in the Great Hall here, and there's a giant blood puddle that's all dried up, but many people died here. You saw swords and shields. You went into the two-story library overlooking the west part of the town, and you could see out beyond the rain the hot spring. And you saw what appeared to be a body floating in there with your keen 25 and 24 perceptions, I think it was.
Yeah.
And then on the other side of the downstairs, there was the dining room, the blown-up kitchen, or at least where a fire happened. And then upstairs, two bedrooms, you found some more blood, and then you found the main bedroom, and there was like the cache of deeds to properties, there was the hat of disguise, there was a bunch of gold, but somebody died there, and the door was busted in, so they didn't escape with this stuff. So the only thing you haven't investigated is the servant quarters, which is a detached, all-wooden structure to the east side of the house. And then, obviously, the spring was out to the west.
Yeah, the body floating. Yeah, I was going to say with the body. We're going to have to do a thing where we need to get, like a pull net to, like fish that guy out.
The net's not strong enough. It just keeps breaking.
Yeah, just I pull off an arm.
Poke him out. Shove him. Also, I was curious, with the kitchen, what was it? Was it like a furnace that caught on fire or something and just went overboard? Or
the kitchen?
Because, like, the fire, you said it went up through the ceiling, so I'm assuming it was, like, a furnace. Or, like, you know, like a cast iron furnace, you
wood
know.
Wood stove or something.
Wood stove, yeah.
Because it looks like the stove is on the western wall.
Yeah, that's why I was a little bit confused.
Yeah, no, if you want to go take another look at it and roll me a survival or roll me a crafting.
Yeah,
or, I'll do that. You might be able to glean a little bit more information.
Okay. Yeah, I can roll crafting as well and help out.
Yeah, I can roll crafting survival. Skill.
I was curious. I was thinking about asking, but so yeah. I'm glad you did.
All right, so you guys check that out. Corbidian's heading outside.
12, I don't know.
Yeah, 12's not going to do it. Just looks like a fire happens, bunch of destruction. Crumbled part of the building's kind of crumbled.
Yeah, 15.
17.
17, what? Crafting or survival?
Crafting.
Okay. With your 17 crafting, you get the sense that there was, you're looking at the rubble, like the floor above collapsed in, so it's kind of hard to tell. But you kind of pull away some stuff, and you actually find a couple of what look like torches, like handheld torches. Maybe your best guess here is that this fire might have been started by accident. Probably with these torches. Because, yeah, the stove's on the other side of the room. This doesn't look like this was an area with a fire source. There's even a chimney next to where the fire is.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not... The chimney's fine. You dig a little bit farther, and you're digging through the ash, and you find a little bit of unearthed soil and broken wood as well.
Something came up through the floor and they tried to burn it.
Or maybe it like knocked over a torch sconce or something like that. Maybe knock something over that would light it on fire.
Mm-hmm. Either way, that was the source of a
right.
Because we hadn't seen a tunnel up until this point, right?
Right. Yeah.
We were talking about that last week, or last session.
Yeah,
you had not found a tunnel.
Yeah, we couldn't find a tunnel anywhere, so there's a tunnel.
It is very funny to think that something crawled up out of the ground and somebody just threw a torch at it.
I mean, understandable. Kill with fire.
Right.
I mean, in my head, if I was cooking noodles in my kitchen and a zombie came up to the floor, I would dump a pot of hot boiling water
on it. Oh, yeah, just throw that on it.
So
I wouldn't do anything, but
that little investigation takes them a good 5 to 10 minutes. Do you go proceed to the services quarter?
Yeah, I'm going to check out one of the windows.
The doors appear to be closed, and the inside is dark. What was your vision again?
I got low light.
Okay. You can pull these shutters open, and a little bit of light comes in from the outside.
Yeah.
And you see a... Let's see. I can't give you any sort of vision here. Alright, so you can see through there. So there, it is a hallway. You see a little bed and a door that is closed.
Okay. Alright, so kind of like,
looks like a small, you know, 10 by 10 bedroom.
Yeah, I think I'm kind of given like peeks. If I don't see anything, it's just moving on. So I'm not probably spending the most amount of time. Open shutters, maybe 30 seconds. They're rummaging. Yep. Go to the next.
Same thing, another bedroom.
Same thing, yeah.
Now you see a living, like an open living quarters, like a communal space.
Yeah.
There's a table, a fireplace. You, at least from here, it looks pretty undisturbed.
Okay. So at this point, I'm at like a minute and a half. Then I go around.
Yeah, the light gets kind of faded, but you can see that there's a hallway that leads to the other side of the building where the front door was that leads to the towards the mansion.
Okay, so I think at this point, I've probably taken like 2 minutes. I'm going to circle around and just wait out front for them to come back.
Okay. So you all finish up in the kitchen. Corbinian is posted up. He's got his new rain cloak on, so you guys are nice and insulated from the rain, staying dry, staying warm. So being out here isn't much of a concern any longer.
Yeah, the three of us walk over debating what we saw in the kitchen, trying to figure out what would happen. Mm-hmm.
What did y'all see in there, huh?
Another tunnel, actually. Right where that destruction of the fire was, there
was... I think they came up through the floor, and somebody threw a torch on them, most likely.
It just went up?
Well, at least it's consistent.
Consistent to something we don't know, of course.
Yeah. So, now, Theron and I saw that there's a body in the spring behind this.
Alright.
So let's check this out, but we need to see who the body is, because that's the only body we've seen yet that's just stayed dead.
Well, I was looking through the windows here and couldn't see nothing, but I think we might as well give a peek, eh?
Aye.
So as Theron walks through, like, with his dark vision, and I'm assuming it's, like, similar to a Corbinian, so nothing.
You see...
You went to the north.
Yeah, up to the north, you that window, you see another 5x5 bedroom, or 10x10 bedroom.
But no one inside.
No one inside.
Has anyone knocked yet?
Well, I didn't see nothing through the windows. I say we just open the door.
Yeah. Yep, there, and you find another bedroom. So there's 4 bedrooms in this building.
Yeah, Half Iron will walk to the door. He'll take his shield boss, bang it against the door a couple times. Kum, kum, kum. And listen for any movement inside.
You hear nothing. You hear nothing.
Alright. Shall we take a look inside?
I suppose so.
Yeah.
Just be careful. So
go ahead and kick the door open.
Well, we just get to take a room. Click the one down here. So I'll take the top right, north right one.
Boop. You guys know all the bedrooms appear to be empty, so if you guys open all those doors, you guys already looked in the windows. They're all empty. This is servants' quarters.
I'm just going to start rifling around under mattresses, looking for any, like, you know, once again, any Resident Evil-style journals or something, as we've alluded to.
Yeah, and then I'm going to detect magic as well.
Yeah, blood. So you're not detecting any magic. Okay. Corbinian, you find like several personal effects. You find like some whittled sticks and little wood carvings, things that when the servants were off duty were spending their time doing. You find a little box full of some letters back to Trunau.
Really? Back to Trunau?
Yeah, and it's when you read through them, it seems to be correspondence with somebody's mother. And it's just like, hey, I've taken this new, finally got to my new job in Fiorna Springs. Things seem to be going well. I have a nice place. The people I work with are all very nice. We all live together. Just describing the place. You see out in the living room that there's a couple of games, like, you know, things similar to chess, cards, stuff. She describes gambling and playing with all the other servants. And then, like, there's griping about the mayor being kind of a pain in the ass and a little.
Did you say the mayor? Greedy.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh. It's nothing, like, juicy. Just about him being kind of, like, while the lady of the house is really nice and really accommodating and does most of the handling with the servants, the mayor's still real, like, stick in the mud. He's a penny pincher. She recounts stories of him, like, ripping people off. Or, like, playing really hardball with the negotiations and kind of throwing his money and his weight around. Just kind of, like, not a nice guy. You also hear a little, you read a little bit more about this, Nate.
Alright. Is there any blood anywhere?
No. This place, appears to be completely untouched. There's no holes, there's no blood, there's no bodies. It doesn't even look like there was disturbance.
Perhaps the attack took place during the day, and they, everyone was up at the manor when they were came under attack, and they never even touched this building.
It's possible to
maybe. Of the wooden figures, did anyone carve a wiener?
No wieners. Okay. Sorry.
Tragic.
Well, that's a strange thing to be asking me. No, just some carvings of birds and such.
Well, as you're walking out, you see a loose board. You pull it up, and it's just a box of carvings of wooden dicks.
I knew it!
Whoa.
It's some dicks in a box!
Boy, if we could have an episode name like that.
Can now!
You just have to put, like, an asterisk in front of it, instead of an I. And you're like, it's perfect. Yeah. What are they talking about? It could be deck in a box.
Maybe ducks in a box.
So that really does appear to be all the rest of this room, and I think your sense that the servants just weren't here when the zombies came.
Yeah. They probably skipped town whenever shit was going down.
Theoretically, this could be a safe place, too.
There also seems to have been a panic at the store where it seemed like things were going bad, so there must have been enough time for people to try to fortify in different places, so...
Yeah.
Knowing the servants, you know, the manor is probably way more defensible.
Yeah,
they probably hightailed it there as soon as things went sideways.
Okay, I want to grab whatever long 10-foot pole. Didn't we have a 10-foot pole?
That was a joke.
I want to grab the body, so I just need something to pull it out of the lake.
There was rope at Warren's yard. I didn't have a 10-foot pole though.
No 10-foot.
You'll have to scavenge. Okay. You'll have to scavenge for a stick.
All right.
Okay.
Well, I mean, I have a spear. We can always tie the rope to the spear, throw the spear at it.
Yeah. Spear fishing.
The spear fishing. The body. For corpses.
I mean,
spear fishing for corpses.
Not super comfortable with desiccating a body, but.
Just don't hit his name tag and we'll be fine.
I'll try.
I say we go out to the spring, see what's going on.
Yeah.
All right. Detecting magic the whole way as well.
Yeah. So you guys head over to the spring. It's not too far from the manor. It's a little bit up the hill, and I don't have a map for this. But you as you approach, it is a beautiful spring. There's water burbling up from the bottom. It's a little bit more humid here. This water is clearly like naturally warm, and you can like look out across the village. You can kind of start to see a lot more. I'm actually going to probably take you guys back to the world map.
So that's where we are.
Yeah.
Yep.
So reveal a little bit more. Now that you kind of have some high ground. There you go. Should see a little bit more. So yeah, you're up on the spring. And again, yeah, it's a what looks a really beautiful spring, except there is a bloated, disgusting, what looks so like a human body kind of stuck. And the only thing keeping this body from going down the spring through the, in, into the stream that runs through the town is that his cloak appears to be snagged on something. Ooh. Like a rock or something.
Cool. Yeah. A little flag on him and push him down.
It wouldn't be hard to reach him. Like you don't even have to roll anything. If you take some take 10 minutes to secure the rope onto him, you can pull him out pretty easily.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Put on a mask so I don't have to smell the rot. Mm-hmm.
So you pull this body out, and it appears to be your best guess would be a hunter. Hmm. He's got like a worn, like what used to be a really like nice sturdy cloak. You know, he's got pouches, like a pouch belt, and like where he would keep a lot of supply, easy access supplies. He has a sheath on his belt, and it has a short sword in it. It's actually a low-grade silver short sword.
Ooh.
And it's a little bit gross because it has some like blood stuck in the sheath too. So, but that's like all congealed and gross with the water.
Yeah.
And the pommel in the handguard of this short sword appears to be a bunch of like ravens, flying. A flock of ravens, or a murder of ravens.
Nice.
Mm. Yeah. If you want to, you could roll a medicine check. See how he died.
Yeah. Does anybody have medicine? I don't even remember.
I have medicine.
Oh, good. Okay.
Yep, I have medicine too.
23.
Nice.
Don't worry about me. I only got a 12.
Also, Kelly, you're looking for the group of ravens is called an unkindness of ravens.
Oh, that's right.
Unkindness. You remember that?
Murder.
I forgot. I was like, it's not a murder. But, it's something weird.
My favorite. I'm vamping here while Kelly does something here. my favorite collection of animals is a shadow of panthers. That's awesome.
Oh, that's cool.
Fun.
Yeah.
My favorite is the least unsuspecting. It's a calamity of capybaras.
That's awesome.
a group of otters is called a romp.
A romp of otters. And a group of owls is called a parliament.
That's a really good one.
Yeah.
That's a really good one.
You know, when I woke up last night, in the middle of the night, and I heard an owl right above my house. It was great. Hmm.
Oh, I love it. That's got to be a good sign.
Yeah. Were they holding court?
So you determined that this body was a zombie at one point and is infected with waterborne zombie rot. And the spring is contaminated with the rot.
Oh, no!
As well.
We got the bodies out.
So, fortunately, with your knowledge of this and the fact that this is running water, you think that the spring will be clear, especially with all the rain in, you know, many hours.
Maybe over the course
of the next day or two, it should be completely clear of this rot. Now that you've cleaned this body out. It does look like it was a hunter, somebody, you know, meant to live out in the woods, the way they're dressed and everything. And you discover that there's strange bruising around the neck, like this person might have been strangled.
Okay.
And then
also, it's not a silver sword, which is kind of weird.
And the bruising is consistent with what you would have, like, you could see that's probably how this person naturally died. But then you also see that the abdomen has been completely sliced open and the neck has been cut.
Damn.
So, bruising all around, and then also slashed to death before being dumped into this spring.
So, it looks like he got pummeled, and then when he rose...
Turned.
Then they sliced his neck.
Yeah. Seems like the town wasn't completely useless. Looks like they took care of this one, but didn't dispose of it properly. Is there any indication... I think Corbinian is... This is doesn't like undead, and he is going to... Once we kind of glean the information, he's going to take it a little bit of ways away from the spring, and like add like a little bit of a distance. You just see him conjure... a lash of purple energy, like vitality lash, and just starts like thrashing it a little bit.
It's beating that corpse.
Right. Yeah. and when he kind of comes back, like maybe like, I don't know if you guys like react or anything, but he's just kind of coming back like everything's like normal.
I think while he's doing that, Half-Yarn will lean over to pause for edit while I ask Mark what his character's name is, because I'm having a brain fart here.
Theron.
Yeah, wow. Half-Yarn leans over to Theron, and he looks at him. He looks over at him and... What happens to the souls of these poor people? I know when you die, you go on to the river. But what if you're... What happens to the soul? I don't understand.
As far as I know, as my people tell it, they go to the boneyard, into the river, where they'll be judged and sent to a different place, depending on how they were in life. But in the case of this undeath, I'm not sure, to be honest. I only kept the dead as safe as possible. And no, the body is at rest, the soul is at rest. At this point, are they trapped within these shambling corpses?
But if we destroy the corpse, would it release their soul?
I would assume. I would assume so. Honestly, I always thought that as long as the body was destroyed, the soul would move on. But, of course, there are instances with ghosts and wraiths and all of that such. But, in this case, I think as long as the body is destroyed, the soul will be at rest. If not that, then the memory of the body will be returned to the earth.
And maybe Corbinian kind of comes back, maybe as you're kind of finishing the conversation, and like you hear like the destroying the body part, and he looks back at the corpse and he's like, "Can't just destroy the body. You have to sever the spiritual essence. It's bound, and it longs to be freed. All of our bodies, they long to go and continue the cycle." That is what we do. We help push along the cycle. The antipode must be filled so it can be drained into creation's forge. The quintessence has to finish the cycle. That is what we do. This undeath, it breaks that cycle. Sometimes you just have to make sure that the bond is broken. And he kind of nods back to the mangled corpse that was already pretty rough shape already.
Evan just looks at you and looks at the corpse and is like, "If I die, you're gonna fucking do that to me?"
So long as your soul is gone, we have nothing to worry about. But if you come back as one of those, and you just like get wide eyes, cocks his head, then I'll do whatever I can to get you along.
The preferred method is burial. Or at least in tombs.
A lot of good that did them, didn't it?
Well, I think that was more of a case of something else going on here. Otherwise, and then he kind of flicks his finger, and then like a mote of flame appears. He goes, cremation is the next best course.
All I have to say about it is this. If I turn into one of those things, you make damn sure I'm dead. I am awaited in Elysium, and I will not be held here by some of this disgusting plague.
And Theron will clasp you on your shoulder. Brother, I will be sure to make sure you would have an honorable death.
How quickly can I get to Abadur's vault? Like, what's like the straight and narrow path?
I'd wonder with how fast you move, I'm sure Pharasma's judgment will be just as swift as as the twitching of your hand.
You see one eye twitching? Alright, yeah.
Edmund, surprise Abadur worshiper.
Are you surprised at all?
I'm a little bit, but then you're like, middle management, trying to climb the ladder. It makes sense.
I don't know how many of you are familiar with their YouTube comedian, Olin Rogers, but there's one episode of one of his little shorts he does, where it's just it's a bunch of people playing an RPG game online, and there's just one guy in the back who clearly can't use the voice chat, who just keeps going, "Give me gold! Give me gold!" That's all they had. Give me gold character.
Alright, well, that's all for the spring. Move that body so the spring can recover, thank goodness.
Yep.
So what do you guys want to do next? Last you had gone was to Warland's Yard. You checked in on the two houses across. You saw overturned cart where Ogryn had... You had seen the vision, the memory of Ogryn watching basically somebody make their last stand in the cart in the middle of the street. And then you know that further southwest, there's another large structure, and it has a big barricade in the front.
Yeah, the big barricade definitely makes me think that people might still be there.
Looks promising.
Yeah.
I agree.
So, head over there. Marching order.
Yep. I'm going to go there. So if there are people there, we obviously want to parlay, diplomacy and stuff like that. So I will go...
Please, let someone else do it then.
Yeah, with the light up in my hand to show that, like, you know, we're actual people. And just, like, you know, see if I see anybody looking out a window or something like that.
It's like, stop shambling. Oh, I'm sorry, I twisted my ankle. Sorry.
It's just what I do, I shamble.
You guys remember Zombieland?
Oh, yeah.
The scene with Bill Murray?
Yeah. Yeah.
Classic.
He's like, guys, this will be funny.
You know, I was just telling Rebecca the other night that my children have not had a good enough Bill Murray education. Because they've been recently watching the Garfield movie. They found it. They like it. And I'm like, that's his worst movie.
Literally the movie when he's dying. He goes, do you have any regrets? And he goes, Garfield. Maybe.
Garfield.
Yeah, Garfield.
So I started him off with Groundhog Day, which is a little more rom-com. I probably should have picked something else. But Brock
can start with Ghostbusters.
Ghostbusters is next. Yes.
Good.
Ghostbusters will be an automatic home run.
Yep.
So that'll be next. But I was particularly in the mood for Groundhog Day, because I haven't seen it in a while. And I love that movie.
Yeah, so the funny thing about that Garfield movie is that was the whole thing he put into the contracts. And because he thought it was going to be by the Coen brothers. And because he saw the name Coen as part of the director or something like that. But it was not that Coen. It was a different one. So he was like, oh yeah, I want to work with the Coen brothers.
Whoops.
Oh shit.
Oh no.
Dang it.
I'm in the script.
It's the Punisher. No. Wait.
All right, so light up in the air, as high as my hand can go, and just sort of like kind of waving it.
Oh no.
What? Oh. You approach the large building at the center of town. It's a squat single-story inn, and it has a modest stable in the back. You go to the back. There's a large barricade at the front made of tables, crates, and barrels But it clearly didn't hold, as you can see. It's a giant gaping hole in it.
Yep.
Ah.
If you guys look inside the collapsed barricade at the bottom, it is just a huge pile and puddle of gore and viscera where people were torn apart here.
Oh my god.
A wooden sign creaks at the front of the building, hanging from only one hook, featuring a mining pick and a massive stein. And the featured words are the pick and pint.
Good name.
It's a tavern.
Yeah, that is good.
I'd go there. I would love to have a pint here if it wasn't so in
It's a pretty shambles. Sturdy building. It's got about a 4-foot exterior wall with then wood built on top of it for the rest of the structure. And then a slate roof.
Ooh,
okay. So you guys may proceed as you wish.
Windows! Right.
Yep, windows. I was going to say, check out windows and stuff.
Windows to the wall.
Don't move. I'll check something.
Dance, everybody.
Kelly, don't move. All of us start making our token spaz.
Agent of Chaos.
Jake told us to, okay? We're just used to listening to him.
Honestly, Jake, it's just like our ping goes up the 500 milliseconds, and we're just drifting off into the building.
We just DDoS the Foundry server.
Okay. You can look at windows.
Yay! Alright, look at the window to the east. First window.
Looks like
right next to the barricade.
Looks like a room, and it appears to be empty.
Edmund, well, at least they have some vacancies.
That window appears to be boarded up. But it looks boarded up from the outside.
Oh, so they did it beforehand, probably.
Yeah.
All right, going clockwise around.
You're running. sprinting
Edmund,
around.
You see what looks like a small windowed closet.
Okay.
With the door. Yeah, closet.
I'm ready to fight some zombie horses.
Educated horses.
Oh, weird. You should be able to see. This is a fence that you're going around right now.
Yeah, I can't see across
There's
the fence.
There's windows in this fence.
Yeah, okay,
you can use something called invisible wall.
Yeah, I know. This one was set up by someone else, and I didn't realize
it was an invisible
wall. But yeah, this is all you guys can see inside. Oopsie. I am building a bunch of fucking walls.
Build more walls! Tear down this wall!
Building walls everywhere. Right, so you enter the backyard, which is the... like the stable. And you see two dead horses. You also you see two brutally slain horses.
Yeah.
You can investigate them further if you'd like. The fence is broken here and here along the southern wall. And there is a door over here and a kind of like collapsed part of the wall here. A collapsed part of the in wall.
Gotcha. Okay. It looked like a barricade at first, but that's just
It's actually like the wall has been collapsed.
Oh, jeez. Okay.
And you can actually like crawl through.
Ooh, Corbinian.
What?
Get in there.
And then, yes, all the
just
way
cause
to...
I'm this, just because I'm small, you think I can just go through any crack in the wall,
yeah.
Huh?
Yep.
Well, you fit your head through and you fit the rest of your body, right?
Just kind of huffs a little bit.
We are the opposite of the group and the Hobbit. All really mean to each other.
So what do you guys do? You going to go in through this hole?
Probably safer to go through the front door.
Yeah.
I do wanna do a quick medicine check on the horses.
Oh yeah.
Go for it.
They're dead.
Might as well do that.
16.
You're too late, they're dead.
I got a good one actually. This is 17 on the die.
Oh.
Or what's my medicine?
medicine is a plus 6, so that is a 23.
It's enough for you to know that these were done. There's a human teeth and nail marks all over these horses.
Yeah. No!
Yeah.
Damn.
Why did they become zombie horses?
Yeah. Isn't that curious?
Maybe horse fortitude was enough to fight off the disease, but not the...
But not the teeth.
Literally not healthy as a horse.
Yeah. Horses are not immortal, so...
Well, that's disputable.
Hey, how are you getting this in?
we don't want to talk about philosophy of horses and immortality.
Yeah, yeah.
Gotta go take care of this.
I know at least four of them make it to the end.
Alright,
Corbinian will go through the hole in the south while you guys go around.
Oh.
Okay.
Okay. Do you want to do anything cast it on you? Do you want like a... Let me see. I'm just going to see if I have like a... Ooh, I can cast Blur on you.
Ooh. I don't think that's necessary unless we get into some combat.
Okay.
You always prepare to cast it.
Well, no, not really, right?
Yeah.
I can't.
Okay, well, I will, you know what? I'll be with him here. If he starts screaming bloody murder, I'll just pull his little foot out.
Cool. And his foot just comes out.
Yeah, like, just the foot.
Oh, no.
Just
the... Oh, God!
Oh, no.
Oh, no. All right, he'll bang on the
stack
front
up
door.
The door.
The front door is ajar. You can just push it open.
I push it open.
Beep. Right.
Right. Once I see Aaron and Half Yarn, then I'll.
So you guys enter in.
As easy as it looks.
Sorry. You guys enter into the tap room, and it's divided up with a large stage, a bar, and a table area. The area is an absolute war zone, though. There's blood, gore everywhere. The tables are broken and overturned. There's clear signs of battle and distress here. And yeah, it is an absolute mess. To the right side of where Corbinian entered is the bar, and there's a door behind there. The door to the left, well, I guess it's still Corbinian's right, but left of the front door on the other side is another door to what looks like maybe a hallway.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hold on one second. If you guys want to search, are you guys going to go to search this room farther? There's also a stage up here.
I'm going to detect magic first, just to make sure if I get any pings from here.
So far, no magic.
Okay.
Quickly seeing here, you can tell that there are overturned like sleeping areas all over the place. You find animal bones picked clean.
This was a holdout.
Yeah, there was clearly a lot of people who were in here at one point, and they were probably in here for what looks like a few days.
Mm.
One of the tables, you see three newly carved notches.
Okay.
And there's also like rags and dirty dishes.
Hold up in here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for a few days at least. Is there any indicator for the people, or is it just just their stuff and
the
blood?
There's no bodies. Corbinian, as you move over to the western side of the building, along this wall here.
Yeah.
In between those two windows, here and here, there is a crude charcoal drawing, and it's showing multiple people huddled together with a wall of black menacing around them, and lots of like evil looking squiggles surrounding them outside.
Evil squiggles.
You do see blood streaks across the wall, dragging to the collapsed part of the wall that you climbed through.
Huh. Ooh. So, again, blood everywhere, no bodies. Bodies are being dragged
to the south, yeah.
Or dragging themselves out.
Right.
Where the fuck are the bodies?
Yeah.
That's the thing that I'm like, oh my.
Yeah, if we found zombies, that would tie that up.
I'd be fine with that. But the fact that we've been through so many places besides the one where they were boxed in.
Yeah.
There's nothing.
Yeah.
There's just a horde somewhere. Okay. I guess we can start looking in here.
Right.
Down this hallway.
Okay, so you open the door to the hallway.
Yep.
Yep, ready.
Yep. And you see two closed doors to the left. One of the what looked like a bedroom that you could see into. The other one had a port and up window. And then you see a door at the end of the hall, which looks like the one that you guys walked by. That was the closet.
Yeah.
The room to the north, we've already looked through the window and didn't see anything in there, correct?
Yeah, it looked like a disheveled, empty bedroom.
He makes his way down the hallway.
When you get to there, that square is difficult terrain because there is a barricade.
In front of the door?
In front of the door, holding it tight, holding it shut tight.
Yeah.
And that room had the window that was boarded up from the outside.
So maybe a survivor.
Maybe a survivor is still in here.
I doubt survivor.
It's
barricaded on the outside. I think if anything, it's going to be another zombie. Like, this was a quarantine area.
Right. Oh, yeah, that's a good idea.
Because they couldn't put them outside.
Right.
Because they had their barricades. They just barricaded they just quarantined in here.
Yeah, I mean,
so if we wanted, we could either, for this, we could either try to funnel them and have one point of attack, or we could have 2 points of attack and try to pull off the windows, too, to pull off the window.
Well, true. I mean, we could also go in through this this way, so two ways.
That's just a closet.
Oh,
I see what you're saying. Go in the closet, have that door open so that you have a pincer. Mm-hmm. That's actually a really good idea. Yeah. Theron and Half Yarn.
Yeah.
Sounds like a plan.
Or do we want Corbini because he's already infected? Might as well just keep him. Keep the good times going, you know?
If you want. I mean, I can throw things, but it's. At the same time, like.
I think we keep Doc safe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I will grab a kitchen knife or something like that and have that ready for a projectile.
Nice.
Oh, okay, for a telekinetic projectile.
Yeah, for telekinetic.
Oh, that's like a kitchen knife. You're a spellcaster. Right.
Yes, I'm going to spell cast the knife at it.
I'm going to open up this, I guess.
Yep.
Alright.
Tap on the door.
Information.
So, do we want to start moving some of the barricade, like, just have Theron throw it out the window while we kind of clear some of the area out?
Yeah.
Or hand it back to Corbinian either way.
Yeah.
We'll slowly start handing the stuff through. Roll a stealth check.
Okay.
Unless you don't want to be stealthy, you don't give a shit.
I mean, I'd rather have the element of surprise once we have the area cleared.
Sure. Okay.
Oh gosh, my iPad is falling asleep.
Wake up! Wake up!
Oh, good. Negative one.
Well, I was about to say, your stealth is going to be the same as mine.
15.
Yeah.
Roll so you start moving the stuff. You're really loud. You're banging it against the door. You don't have the most deft hands.
Oops.
And as you go to pull away the last like piece of barricade holding like the doorknob, you hear all of a sudden just boom on the other side of the door as something like rammed into this door.
It's time.
Whoa.
The door didn't open. The door opens into the room.
Okay.
This thing like slammed on the door. But you hear boom again.
He doesn't know how to lock doors.
Oh, it's the aliens from Signs.
Yeah.
Give me that kitchen knife, I'll cut off his fingers.
Yeah, could Edmund use, like, telekinetic hand or whatever to open the doorknob?
Yeah, I can do that, yeah. Telekinetic hand works just like that, so.
That would granola bar, Adam? I don't know.
Yeah, I cast it twice. One to open the door, another one with the Snickers in it.
Well, you twist that door, and it kind of, like, falls open into the room, and a pretty big zombie. It's still meaty. Like, you see him first half yarn as this thing grabs the edge of the door and, like, wrenches it open, like, really fast, and comes straight at you.
Alright, here we go.
Let's go.
Here we go. There we go.
Shield,
let's go.
Let's go. Yeah, shield raise.
Beefcake zombie, go.
Beefcake.
Let's go. I'm in combat state.
Right.
Is it, like, large?
It's not large, but...
Okay.
Well, thank God.
Jed, Half-Yarn is the first one to see this person, and they're, like, 6'5", and they're also, like, wearing hunter's garb, and they're kind of, like, a pretty beefy dude that is now dead.
Holy shit, is it John?
It's John. Oh, dear God. But yeah, big zombie comes at you.
You described him perfectly.
Again, a hunter, though. That's kind of interesting.
Yeah, another person who's in, like, out of town or, like, wilderness clothes.
Yeah.
All right, let's see what this guy gets.
Probably rolled higher.
I wonder if this is patient zero.
I've been wondering which one is patient zero. Like,
right.
Yeah.
I'm waiting for maybe a more obvious sign, but, like, a lot of them seem to be, like, they could be, you know?
Well, I'm thinking hunter's garb, got infected in the wild, came to town, one fell in the river, poisoning the water supply, the other one ends up here and bites somebody, and it starts spreading through the town.
Yeah, yeah, I was wondering that, too, but, like, there's no way to tell how long that guy was
for sure.
Rotting in the water, so. Kale, could I... because I was readying my telekinetic projectile, can I roll
maybe a little arcana?
You were doing mage, so, telekinetic hand, so I'll still give you arcana.
Okay. Well, that's good.
What did you get there, Edmund?
Edmund got a 19. Thank you for letting me roll arcana.
Half your arm, what'd you get?
Can I roll with crafting, since I was taking apart the barricade?
No, you were doing athletics.
Fair enough.
If anything.
19.
Okay. Corbinian, what'd you get?
Corbinian was waiting and ready with a 24.
Nice.
It's you. Speedy over here. And Theron, what'd you get?
Unfortunately, I guess backed into a narrow spot, he rolled a 10.
Alright. It is Corbinian's turn.
Nice. Corbinian wants to make quick work of this foul creature and is going to...
Oh, man.
Do I want to do that instead? I thought I knew what I was going to do.
But you went first.
But I went first.
That's the curse.
Oh, man. Let's see. But the Half-Yarn and Theron, you don't have much range. I think I will keep it kind of close for now, and I think I'm just going to use a Vitality Lash. It's going to conjure up that purple streak of... undeath and life used into one and make me a fortitude save.
There's no attack roll with this, right?
No. Just range. Fortitude save is awesome.
Oh, baby. 24.
God, daggone.
I'm assuming that's probably the regular success. Yep, regular success, but you still take half damage. Well, as I strike out.
Ooh.
So 6 points of vitality damage. As Corbidin calls out.
Is it clearly takes more damage?
Yeah. Your corrupted essence can't stand against energy from the creation's forge itself. You will be returned. And my last action. Ooh, I could do that as a one action. I was kind of hoping for a horde to use this on, but I think just to start burning some spells, I'm gonna, with one action, cast Infuse Vitality on the Half Yarn's weapon.
Ooh, nice. Cool. There you go.
So you get an extra 1d4 vitality to your strikes.
Sick.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I imagine all the runes he has all over the spear start to glow with, like, even more energy.
Yeah. Whoa. A little purple hue.
Love it.
Purple hue. All in my brain. With a Rasmus hand. Striking out with vitality.
Alright, this thing shambles out into the hallway. And we'll go for the half yarn.
Oh boy. Here we go.
Natural 3.
It doesn't even have...
Natural 3. Oh, I was about to say, do I have my shield raised? I feel like I have my shield raised.
And no one has reactive strike, huh?
No, I asked that episode 1.
Yeah.
Yeah, you did. That's right.
Sick about you.
And that's it. That is its turn. This big zombie comes out, tries to grab you, does not succeed, and is now trapped in the hallway between Theron and the Half Yarn. And it is the Half Yarn's turn.
All right. Half Yarn will step up. Well, no, not going to step up. Doesn't have to. He's in perfect position, so he will take his first action to use his fortifying knock to raise his shield and trace the rune of Holtrick on his shield, the rune of Dwarven Ramparts, which gives him a +1 to his AC. And then he will do his tracing strike on the giant zombie. So I'm going to go ahead and try to strike him with my weapon. All right, that's going to be a 21.
That's a hit.
Nice.
Yes.
21. All right, so that's going to be 1d6 piercing +3. 7, and then I'll roll my vitality damage.
Uh-huh.
Ooh, yeah. Max damage for 4 points of vitality. Let's go. And then he will also trace on his signature. Sorry, my Renshu's Rune of Thunder, which we've been over that one a couple times. So I'll spare you the details on that one. If he moves, if he doesn't move, he gets 1d4 lightning on a 4-2 save. And then for his last action, he's actually going to trace one more rune onto his spear, which is, I love these. These are like the cool little like meta magic kind of runes called Diatric Runes. And this one is Sun, the Diatric Rune of Preservation, which lets me invoke a rune, and then it immediately is retraced back on to his weapon. So I'm setting something up for next round. So he puts that on his rune of whetstone on his spear so that he can invoke it and not lose it on the next turn. So
how much damage did you do to me again?
So that was 7 piercing, 4 vitality.
Okay. Okay.
And then he will take... I know these zombies are... I think they're immune to bleed, but I do get some bleed damage on the next turn because of my rune of whetstones.
He's already very bloody.
I had a feeling that might be the case.
But when you pierce him with that vitalizing spear, it just burns a gigantic gaping hole in it.
Heck yeah.
As you feel Pharasma judging this creature. And it is Edmund's turn.
All right. The kitchen knife that was in my hand begins to float in my open palm. It begins to spin very rapidly as I gently toss it into the air, and it goes hurtling, picks up speed, and shoots across the room. So this is going to be a spell attack roll against the AC of the creature, which might have some cover because of the hallway situation.
Yep, plenty of cover.
Okay. However, that is a natural one.
Oh,
I'm
about to get
a knife in the back. Oh, a good spell crit right before the end of an app.
Oh, boy.
You get teleported to the negative energy plane.
Oh, man.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. I know the reference. Klato Vareta Necktie, which is from The Evil Dead.
Evil Dead.
Yep.
Oh, man. I'm sorry, Corbinian. You critically hit your nearest ally.
Oh my god.
So you send this knife straight into the back of Corbinian's neck.
Oh my god!
How much damage?
Well, I gotta do it in a foundry because
so much damage. I might go down.
I know. So it's 3d6.
Oh,
4.
oh no.
14 regular.
That's 20. Doubled.
No, that's not.
Oh, no.
28 points of damage.
That is 28 points of damage.
Don't put you in the indifferent arms of Phrasma.
You see it strikes a mortal wound on Corbinian, and for a second it looks like he's just a clean fall flat on his face, dead. But you see him slam down his shield and catch himself from falling, and he just looks up to the sky and he says, not yet Phrasma, I still have work to do.
Evan, see what happened, goes, oh fuck buddy, I'm sorry. Look, you can buff that out. Like, it's not that bad.
And he just shoots his eyes backwards. You see them glow with a purple rage.
He casts a glass shield against you. that's my turn.
Oh, wow.
Oh, gosh. It's Theron's turn.
Okay, Theron, with him, with this creature just right in front of him, he's just going to do an impulse blast, point blank. As far as it, like the earth that's kind of constantly circling him, like kind of congeals into like a solid brick, and he just sends it forward, like in a concussive wave, and that is, oh my god, 25 to hit.
That is a critical hit.
Nice!
Because I was like, got plus 9 to hit him.
Has anybody, like, asked you about your abilities? I guess you guys all kind of knew each other for the most part from True Now, but yeah, you guys have cool powers there, dude.
Yeah. Just taking the elements from their planar worlds and summoning them, shit like that.
Just
awesome.
Just no big.
No biggie. So that is a... okay, 7 on die. It's only a 1d8. That'd be 7 on die, so multiplied 14. If I know math.
Nice. Okay.
So 14 points of damage. That was his first action, so he could just technically do it again. I mean, might as well.
Sick.
So now it's a plus. Okay, actually, that I'm not sure of. No, it is, because that's like the Elvena Blast attack. I think it's, since it's a one action, it basically, I can take the map, so instead of plus 9, it's plus 4.
Yep.
Does a 16 hit?
It does.
Okay, yes! 16 hit. Okay. Oh, nice. That was a 12 point die. 1d8. Again, 7 points of damage.
Alright.
Final action?
Yep.
Ray shield.
Okay.
Oh. Just...
So, like, you just, like, crush this thing's, like, leg and, like, its ribs. It's, like, keeled over to the side. Its right leg is completely smashed. And it's Corbinian's turn.
Oh, no way. All right, let's bring this home. I'm going full offensive, and I'm going to
Attack
Vitality Lash again.
I mean, he turns around and he just stabs Edmund.
I stab Edmund.
I got the exact same roll again. I got another 24.
Okay. Oh. Well, I'm gonna roll, but I'm gonna still 3d6.
Kelly rolling rocks.
And I proc the weakness. 5 points of vitality damage. That is already halved.
As this holy light just lashes out of this creature, wraps it up, and just dissolves its center mass, and it just falls to a heap on the floor.
Oh. He's dead. You just see him just panting, like literally barely clinging to life, like, not yet, not yet.
Half Iron turns around and goes, what the hell happened?
No, we're amazing.
He just pulls the knife out of his neck and like throws it on the ground. Why don't you ask Edmund?
Seems we have a traitor in our midst.
Edmund looks behind him like, where did that come from? That's crazy.
The three of you just like all turn and look down the hall at Edmund standing there with this look of shame on his face. And we'll see you next time.
Not the look of shame.
Not the look of shame. Corbinian ready to vitality lash.
He tries to talk to him. Corbinian's like, can you tell Edmund that I...
Well, September's finally here in full force, and you know what that means. It's time to head on over to Misty Mountain Gaming for some back-to-school supplies. You might be thinking to yourself, Misty Mountain Gaming? It's back-to-school supplies? You're dang right. You know that Misty Mountain Gaming has an eclectic assortment of journals? Also has some amazing rugged leather backpacks. Can you imagine the look on your loved one's face when you gift them a leather hide backpack, rust colored from Misty Mountain Gaming, or perhaps they're soft navy, or maybe even a soft tan? Make this the school year to remember with Misty Mountain Gaming. And if you want to grab 10% off your entire order, just use Dragon Punch Squad at checkout. So, stock up for school at MistyMountainGaming.com. And once again, that's Dragon Punch Squad for 10% at checkout. Alright, game on, gamers. And hit back to school in style.